Praise the Lord. A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. A shoot shall come out from the stalk of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall lie with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, or the earth, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our reflections on the messianic prophecies in preparation for the celebration of Christmas. We have been seeing prophecies from the book of Isaiah. We have seen Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Emmanuel prophecy. We saw also Isaiah chapter 9 that speaks about a great light that shines in the shadow of darkness. Today, we come to analyze another very important prophecy, a messianic prophecy that speaks about the equipment of the Messiah, what the Messiah would do, and what the consequence of this messianic action would be. As in the chapter 9 of Isaiah, chapter 11 also deals with a very critical situation in the history of Judah and Israel. Apparently, it deals with the situation of the attack, the invasion by the army of Sennacherib, by which the country was devastated. The northern kingdom has already disappeared from the map of the world, and Judah itself is threatened. Its very existence seems to be threatened. That seems to be the situation in which this prophecy is uttered. The prophecy as such can be divided into three sections. Chapter 11, verses 1 to 3a deals with the equipment, how this messianic figure is being equipped for his actions. The second part, 3b to 5, deals with what this figure, what this prophet or messianic figure would be doing. And verses 6 to 9 speak about the effect of the dealings of this messianic king in the entire world. So now let us come to the analysis of this chapter, this prophecy. It starts with this proclamation: a shoot shall come out from the stalk of Jesse. A shoot shall come out from the stalk of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This has to be understood in relation or in connection with what is immediately preceding in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 10, verses 33 and 34 speaks about a destruction, a punishment God would inflict upon kings. Look, the sovereign, the Lord of hosts, will lop the boughs with the terrifying power. The taller trees will be cut down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will hack down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon with its majestic trees will fall. Cutting down the trees is a symbol of punishing and destroying, killing kings. The trees and branches stand for royalty, royal dynasty, and kings. So God is going to punish and destroy and wipe out kings. That was the threat. And now, in chapter 11, verse 1, the prophet speaks about a shoot that comes out of the stalk. The branches are all gone. What remains is only a stump. As if the whole hope of the Davidic dynasty is extinguished. Kings have been cut down, and what remains is only apparently a fruitless, worthless stump. So from this stump, from this stalk of Jesse, God is going to bring a new shoot. A shoot, and then comes a bow, a branch, that speak or stand for a royal figure. So the dynasty of David has come into a great crisis. And now the prophet is going back to the roots, the origin of David, that is Jesse. David is Jesse's son. So God is beginning all over again. When everything is gone, every hope is extinguished, God starts all over again. Tree that has been cut down and reduced to a mere stump will bring forth another shoot. So this is a great hope, the shoot and the branch. This is a messianic title used in many a prophecy. For example, in Jeremiah 23:5, we see the same prophecy coming. In Jeremiah 23:5, we read like this. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely. So a branch, a shoot, stand for a messianic figure, a royal figure. The same thing is true also with Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. I am going to bring my servant the branch. So the branch and the shoot is a synonym for a king, a messianic king. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. Thus says the Lord of hosts, here is a man whose name is Branch. Here is a man whose name is Branch. For he shall branch out in his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. So the shoot and the branch stand for a royal figure, a king. A king that has to come out of the stump of Jesse from the house of David. And now, how is this royal figure being prepared? God is giving him whatever is needed to execute justice, to carry out the task that God is entrusting him. And the equipment is mainly with the Spirit. In 11:2, we read, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. It's not a sporadic coming and going of the Spirit. The Spirit will rest on him. This is something very much in the tradition of the Bible. For example, when Moses complained about the heavy task he was entrusted with, he complained that he cannot carry the burden of leading this rebellious people. He is fed up. And he is asking, did I bear these sons? Am I responsible for these people? Why should you ask me to carry all this burden alone? Moses was complaining in the desert because of the quarreling and the grumbling of the people. Then God said, well, you don't have to carry the burden all by yourself. God will give him helpers. So in book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 17, we read, I'll come down and talk with you there, and I'll take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people along with you, so that you will not bear it all by yourself. So Moses was given the Spirit of God to guide his people. But when he saw that it was too much for him, God is telling that the Spirit which is upon Moses will be shared with 70 others. And this God did. We continue to read in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 25. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him, and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. So the spirit of the Lord, of which Isaiah is speaking, is a spirit that guides the leaders, that gives them the power. The same we can see again and again in the book of Judges several times. One important incident is with Samson. The spirit rushes upon the judge, rushes upon the leader to empower him to do a difficult task. In Judges 14, verse 6, the spirit of the Lord rushed on him, and he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as one might tear apart a kid. Incredible power given to Samson by the Spirit. Again, we see in chapter 15, verse 14 of the book of Judges, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed on him, and the robes that were on his arms became like flax that has caught fire, and his bones melted off his hands. So when the Spirit comes, everything becomes possible. So the task, even the apparently impossible task, becomes possible when the Spirit comes. So this is the Spirit that is promised to the royal messianic figure. And this Spirit was promised again to all. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, we read, then afterwards, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I'll pour out my Spirit. So God is going to pour out the Spirit, an eschatological Spirit that will be given to all, a promise that was fulfilled in the day of Pentecost. But now this messianic figure of Isaiah is going to possess the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. And the prophet goes to specify what is the type of the Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the quality of God. Wisdom that gives an insight, the ability to take the right decision. And all these qualities, there are six qualities or six gifts of the Spirit mentioned here. All these gifts are related to the task entrusted to the leader. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, deep insight into the persons and events that is required for making policies for the good of the state. A wisdom given by God enables the person to understand, and the spirit of counsel, the counsel for making decisions, the right decision in policy making, in relation with the states, in relation to the people, executing justice. So the counsel of God. And might, the power. We saw the power of the Spirit given to Samson. We see the power given to Saul and David. The power that empowers, strengthens, gives the possibility to the leader to carry out the task, the might in defending the people, in repelling the enemy, in carrying out, bring justice to fruition. and the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of the fear of God. The spirit of knowledge, know God and His will. That is the knowledge, most important. Know God and His plan for humanity. And the fear of God. Fear of God speaks about the transcendence of God, their awe, reverence, the sense of the other, sense of the holy God. The fear of God is said to be the beginning of wisdom. There we have the royal messianic figure equipped with the spirit of God, entrusted to carry out a difficult task. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. To these six gifts, the Septuagint translation, the Greek translation called the Septuagint, and the Latin translation by St. Jerome called the Vulgate, they have added one more, that is piety. So the fear of God is explained, interpreted as piety. So here we have the traditional seven gifts of the Spirit. And all these seven gifts are given to the Messianic King so that he will bring out justice to all. Now, what is the task entrusted to him? He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. Not making rapid decisions, quick decisions just on the appearance of things. What one sees may not be correct. What one sees, one hears may not be the truth. Appearance can deceive. So the true wisdom and knowledge of God will enable the person to see deep into the reality. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor. Righteousness, the tzedakah, equality in the dealings between humans. Equality that comes into existence when one obeys the commandments of God. One directs one's life according to God's will manifested, expressed through the commandments of the covenant. He will judge. So the king has the duty of judging, making decision in favor of the poor, defending the poor and the weak. He shall judge with righteousness the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. The poor, the meek, the weak, they are always pushed aside, pushed to the margin, denied justice, denied a place in the society by the strong and mighty of this world. So the Messianic King is to take the sides of the poor, the weak, the marginalized, the exploited. As God manifested himself in the event of Exodus, as the God of the oppressed, as God the liberator, so this Messianic King will take the sides of the poor and the weak and decides with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. The rod of his mouth. That is the word of God. The word of God that executes justice. And we have a similar saying in the book of Revelation chapter 19, verse 15. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. So, striking the earth with the rod of his mouth is executing justice, punishing the wicked, destroying evil. And with the breath of his lips, he shall kill the wicked. So, the executing of justice, defending the poor, involves also destroying evil with its roots. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. So here the royal figure is engaged in battle for defending the poor, executing justice, and destroying evil. And the result of this, what happens with this Messianic intervention into the history. What comes is peace. When evil has been eradicated and justice has been defended, then follows an age of peace and prosperity. And that is explained, narrated in very vivid terms. The wolf shall lie with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Wolf and lamb are born enemies, so to say. Lamb becomes always the food of wolf. When the two meet, one dies. But that is going to be changed. So the enmity, the quarrel, the destructive power in animal world will be changed. Here wolf and lamb stand as representatives of two types of people, two types in creation that brings in violence. The same again with the cow and bear grazing together. The lion eating straw like an ox. Lion is a meat-eating animal. Now there will be no more killing, no more meat-eating, and no more destruction. So there will be no more violence. So what is presented here is a sign of great peace. Peace and tranquility expressed by the term shalom. Shalom is a state of being in which everything returns to the plan of the Creator. In the paradise, we know, everything was in a peaceful situation. Nobody would kill anything. No animal would do any harm to another animal or human being. There would be peace. And this primitive peace was disturbed and destroyed by the sin of humanity. When man and woman acted against God's plan and God's commandment, there came in all the violence. And now this coming king is to restore the creation to its primitive purity, where everything will be in peace again. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. Adder and asp, poisonous snakes, always a danger, but now they are no more dangerous. When the Messiah comes, when the Messianic king equipped with the Spirit comes and executes justice in this world, there will be peace. But there is one more thing that we have to emphasize here. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. The violence will come to an end when the earth is filled with the knowledge of God. That is the ultimate goal of the coming of the Messianic King, to fill the world, to fill the earth with the knowledge of God. As the seas are filled with waters, so the humanity, the world will be filled with knowledge of God. It is the lack of true knowledge that brings in violence. It is the lack of knowledge that breeds enmity, hatred. We consider the other as an enemy, as a threat, because we are filled with lack of understanding, filled with darkness. So when the true knowledge comes, we will see the other not as an enemy, but as a brother. As the gurus would say, when can you say the day has dawned and the darkness has entered? It is when you can realize the one standing near you is not your enemy, but your brother. Whatever be the color of his skin, whatever be the creed he professes, whatever be the region he comes from, he is a human being created in the image and likeness of God. He is a brother and he is a sister. So the knowledge of God, when one knows God, he will know also that the other is my brother. There will be no more hatred. There will be no more terrorism. There will be no more war in the name of God. Trying to establish one's own creed over the others, considering the faith of the others as idolatry or stupidity, considering one's own faith the only true and valid faith. The true knowledge brings peace. So the Messiah comes to bring in peace. Peace and knowledge of God. The true knowledge that breeds peace. Now in this prophecy, we see three figures. There is the Lord. The Lord that sends a shoot, a king. And there is the Spirit that equips this king. Three figures: God, King, and Spirit. There is a vague hint about the true nature of God that will be revealed only in the New Testament through Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. But already in the Old Testament, we can see a prefigurement, a shadow, a vague revelation of the Holy Trinity. God the Father, who sends His Son as the King, and the Spirit who equips this Son. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is not revealed here fully, but there is a hint towards it. We see again and again, in various ways, various veiled, unclear ways, shadowy ways of the revelation of the Trinity. Now this is a pointer. God will send the Messiah. God will send the Messiah equipped with the Spirit to bring justice to the poor and to fill the earth, the hearts of people with the knowledge of God. That's what Jesus did. Reveal the truth. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life, He said. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the promise that You would send Your Son as our King to teach us the ways of life, to reveal to us the truth that You are. Enable us to listen to Him. Open our eyes to see Your face in Him. Open our ears to hear Your word through Jesus Christ. Give us Your Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, that we may understand You, that we may see our neighbor as brother and sister. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.